Hey friends, this episode is sponsored by the Krista McAuliffe Academy School of Arts and Sciences. Hey fabulous moms, let's get real. Choosing the perfect school for our kids, that's not a walk in the park, right? Every child is unique with distinct needs, learning styles, and passions. In-person public schools, local private schools, many of us have been there, but what if there was an option that feels tailor-made for your child? One that addresses the specific needs of your family, the flexibility you crave, and the social acceptance and support your child deserves. Introducing the Krista McAuliffe Academy School of Arts and Sciences, or CMASAS for short. This accredited K-12 online private school is celebrating 15 years of excellence in online education this year. CMASAS provides a personalized education model that allows students to progress at their own pace, opening opportunities to pursue passions, accelerate learning, or tend to medical challenges. Envision a place where your child's individuality is celebrated and you are liberated from the constraints of certain school district requirements. They've got a dream team, personalized education coaches and course instructors who together form a dynamic cheerleading squad for your family. Students connect with peers from over 30 countries at weekly homerooms, assemblies, and tap into opportunities for in-person gatherings and international travel adventures. So moms, take control of your child's educational path. Embrace a schooling experience tailored for your family. Head over to cmasas.org and explore a world where education meets passion. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Abiding Together podcast. And we are delighted to be with you on this adventure. And I know that the Lord is going to do wonderful things in all of our hearts. The Abiding Together podcast is a place where you can find connection, rest, and encouragement on your journey with Jesus Christ. And wherever you find yourself in the world, wherever you find yourself in your life, you are most welcome here. And we know that the Lord will speak to you. My name is Sister Miriam James Heidland, and every week I am joined by two of my very dearest friends, Heather Kim and Michelle Benzinger. And we speak about what the Lord is doing in our life. We speak about our sorrowful mysteries, our joyful mysteries, and how the Lord is leading us in it all. And you are most welcome right here, right here. So please grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and welcome home.
Hey friends, I just wanted to update you on our podcast schedule. We will be taking a short Easter break, April 1st and April 8th. We will not have new episodes, but then we'll return on the 15th of April and we'll go all the way through until May 27th. And then we're going to take a summer break. We have a lot of great upcoming episodes. We are so glad to be on the journey with you.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Abiding Together podcast. And welcome to week 5 of Lent. Did you think you're going to make it? Heather Kim, did you think you'd make it to week 5 of Lent?
It's been touch and go a couple times, but here we are. We're all alive. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, this Lent has been so good. It's actually been really, really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Has it been like helpful, helpful and purifying, or what's, when you say good, like good hard or hard good, or like?
Well, a little mix of both. Like I was having a reflection one day in my prayer time, like the three R's that came to mind were, what does God want to renew? What does he want to restore? And what does he want to reveal? And just as I meditated on those things, good. It was just like so clarifying for me. One of the things that he wanted to restore was I started reading the Narnia Chronicles again, and it's just been like so good for this part of my heart, like just a young part of my heart, like just the wonder, the innocence, things that, I don't know, there's been so much delight that's crossed my face and tears coming down my eyes. Like it's just been a really beautiful experience. And then there's other places where, the purification's happening, the pressing, the peeling away of things. It's been good, really fruitful, you know?
So I think it's what Lent's supposed to do, right? That's the beauty of it.
How about you, Michelle? You hanging in there? Michelle, you live over there, girl?
You've been sick. We've been worried about you.
I'm sick. I'm on the thing. It just has felt very Lent, but going along Heather's theme of our words, the Lord just has really been having me dive deep in the word refine. Like, what does it mean to be refined? Mm-hmm. And it was funny because we saw this older woman and I just thought she was so classy. And Chris made the comment, like, she's very refined. Mm-hmm. And I was always talking about, thinking about, praying about, what does it mean? Refiner's fire. What does it mean for something to be refined? But I'm not going to lie. It's been a little bit of rough. Like, the Lord has been stretching me and growing me. I put myself to bed at 8:25 last night. I was like, I need to go to bed.
Yeah, you needed that. You needed that.
All the moms are like, girl, preach me.
Can I put myself to bed at 8:30 tonight? I'm ready now, actually. It's 4:30 p.m. I'm ready.
I looked at my husband. I know. I looked at my husband and was like, you have to close the house down. I just need to go to bed. And everybody around me was like, yes, you do. You're being nasty. And so like, move along, sister. But you know, there's a lot. A hot bath and early bedtime can
cure a multitude of sins. So anyway,
there you go. Mm-hmm. Sister, how about you? How was your Lenting?
Yeah. My Lenting, yeah, it's been as things always are, it's like different and unexpected things. And I'm like, okay, wow, well, I didn't see that one coming, or the Lord wants to bring up something, or you're like, wow, that's still around. So for me, I felt like my Lent started a little early. I was like, okay, Lord, it's you can wait till February 14th if you want. He's like, no, I'm going to start middle of January. I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go ahead and we'll do that. If that's what you want to do, that's, I got you. So, but I'm grateful. And I think, ultimately, would we have it any other way? I don't know. Like, I just hope we never stop growing. Gosh, I hope we never stop growing.
Amen. So,
well, with that, with speaking of never stop growing, we are growing. Yeah,
yes.
We are going to dive into our theme for the week, which is we take from the Sunday. So this is for the fifth Sunday of Lent, which out of year B. And the title of her reflection is Scholarship, which I was like, oh, this is interesting. One of the quotes, it's just so beautiful. She says, "Let us think for a few minutes about the process of learning. All real learning requires a great effort. One could perhaps define the greatest scholars as those who have put forth the most effort with the equipment that God gave them. There is always some form of suffering in all learning, because there must be patience, and patience is suffering. There is always humility in learning. It is the great scholars who realize how little they know." And this when I read this, I was like, oh, this is so good. So Michelle, you want to kick us off? What are your thoughts as we dive into this?
Yeah, I just am more and more, and we've talked about it often on the podcast, but just like, okay, life is a school of love, learning how to be loved, learning how to receive love, and allowing the Lord to love us, and learning how to love well. And it all goes back to all is love. And I just think one of the things that I'm learning, like I love a little bit later in this reflection, she talks about like, you have to go back to the beginning. And I feel like that Part and Sound of Music. Let's go back to the beginning, you know, doe a deer, female deer. It's like learning the spiritual ABCs. I'm like, okay, I have to go back to A, pay attention to where the Lord is trying to bring my attention to. And I think one of the things he's highlighted in me is perfect love casts out all fear, just how fearful I am. There's just a lot of fear in my life. Like, I mean, he is like putting his finger on that. And areas like you were talking about, sister, like, okay, shouldn't I? And she goes on later to talk about this, but I'm like, shouldn't I be more advanced than this? Shouldn't I be over this part? But I'm just realizing Lord likes to go backwards before he goes forwards. We have to become little before we can grow big. And so it's just a very, just learning a lot about my littleness once again. So, yep. Heather, what about you?
To quote you and the donkey from Shrek,
layers.
You know, we keep saying that, like, I have that feeling often where it's like, oh my gosh, are we back at square one again? And I feel like in some ways, yes. And in other ways, no. It is like that word refinement. It's a deeper refinement of certain things. And the core things, I don't think we should ever get away from those things.
Amen.
You know, never, ever. Like sometimes the simplest things, the hardest to live, the hardest to let it really seep deeply into our hearts and change us. I'm with you, friend. I'm with you right there. I love this quote here that she's talking about. The littleness. And she says, "The great ones always speak from a depth on their knees, prostrate before God." And I'm like, if we can stay there, that's probably a good posture to have because it's not just like the reverence of like bowing down before God, but it's also the ease. It's like he makes us lie down in green pastures. There's an ease to just laying down our whole life, literally laying down sometimes, like just be like, yeah, it's okay. I'm safe here. And just be small, offer what I can. Yeah. What are your thoughts, sister?
Yeah, what you guys are sharing is so beautiful. And she's reflecting on the author to the Hebrews here when it says, "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." And if the Son of Man learns through, you know, Son of God learns through suffering, you know, how much more do we that we learn suffering, you know, through suffering, but it's the true learning doesn't come from the isolation or abandonment. The true learning comes from suffering and communion, because suffering and communion is healing. And I just was thinking today, right now giving a healing retreat to some religious sisters and just thinking of like how I was thinking about this very thing of like how we learn. And, you know, when I came to religious life, there's like this expectation of when you make your first vows, you should know everything and you don't, and you just keep learning. And I was thinking about the day the two of you guys, when you each got married and then you start having kids, that was just the beginning of the learning. And it's like, you might even be ready. Like, even if you were an older sister and you took care of your siblings, it's so different when you get married and have kids. And there's a learning curve, and a learning curve that doesn't just stay in your 20s, but it goes up in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. It's like we're constantly learning. And I think there's a shame piece there when we find those places that we don't know yet. Or like she's later, she's going to talk about limitations, and we hit our limitations. And then the temptation, I think, to say is either I hate myself, I should know better, or like, oh, I don't need to know anymore. I'm fine. I'm totally fine here. And they're both ways of us trying to protect ourselves from the vulnerability that learning requires and the humility of growth. And so I just reflecting on those places in my own life of like those tendencies of like the shame or the, no, I don't need to know anymore. I'm totally fine. You're like, oh, like, our bless our hearts. Like if we could just say that, we're like, oh, that's so cute. But yeah, mm-hmm. we have to grow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, praise God. we get mm-hmm. to grow. Praise mm-hmm. God, we get to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at that, we get to grow. And I, sister, what you were saying is there's something about us that we do shame ourselves, saying we need to be further along. We need to be more like, this will even bring me to tears. I was looking at the areas that I was so fearful because our family's about to make a big decision. We're praying about moving and doing all that and deciding. And I was looking at the to-do list and all that would have to happen. Y'all, it freaked me out. And it was like so paralyzing. I was like, I mean, I just shut down. I was like, I can't, what all has to happen? I can't do it. And it was so funny. The thing that drove me like over the edge, it wasn't like a big thing, like houses and schools, which should be the big thing. It was, I was in the car with my daughter and she goes, what about my orthodontist? We've already paid for my braces in full. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Like, what do you do? Do I call the orthodontist? Do I get the money back? Like, we've already paid for it in full. I mean, it's something so simple, yeah, but it wasn't. It was just like that little thing that sent me over the edge. But it was really interesting. I was talking to another girlfriend of mine about it today. She's like, okay, what were the blocks? And so she's like, can I ask you a question? And I was like, sure. You know, like where you kind of want to ask a question, but I'm like, just go ahead and tell me what you're thinking. And she said, do you still feel like you have to figure everything out? Is it that little girl part of you that still has to figure everything out? And I was thinking about it. I was like, yes, that's it. It's the area that I am not attached to the Father. Somewhere in my story and my beliefs, I feel like I had to trade, you know, the authentic person I was for attachment. Like if I do it, if I just make this happen, other people will love me, which is a lie. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's something in me that believes mm-hmm. I have to figure it out by myself, even with the Father. I have to do this. And it overwhelms you. And the Lord's like, what you were saying earlier, Heather, is like, Lord, the Father's like, no, with me, there's an ease. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now there's a suffering and there's a resilience that needs to happen. But there's an ease, and you know in your spirit and your gut when you're in the ease of the Father and you are really flowing with the Trinity and when you're not, like you just know. And so like when there's that pushback on you, you're like, okay, I'm taking out myself out of the Father's gaze and I'm the one that's doing it. I'm the one that's moving positions, not him. I am looking down at the details instead of looking up at his face and his gaze and his eyes. A provision. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, it's easy to get out of alignment. Like, how did I get here? Oh. And then you begin again.
Totally. Thanks for being vulnerable. That's hard. Yeah, those are deep things. Like, and they get triggered like in a heartbeat. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? And then it's like a whole huge thing, you know, that can be really disorienting in the moment. And also what I'm hearing is the Father is saying to you, you don't need to live like that anymore. You know, like as he says to all of us in those moments, like this is a place I want freedom for you. But it's hard. It's hard when it first comes up because you feel the pain, you feel the weight of it, you feel the old things, the old attachments. And then we go, how is this going to happen? You know, which has been something that's come up in the Bible many, many times. Well, Lord, how's this going to happen?
And how does this work? And yeah.
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to make a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Friend, I thank you for sharing that. And I'm just struck by the Father's tender compassion for you in that place of like the, oh, my little one, I love you. And I could just imagine, I mean, that's huge to move. And then to have all these little things, little things, but the bigger things pile up. And then I could just, it's like that one thing that like, why is this? But like that it hits the core, you know, and it just, as you shared that, like just experiencing like, oh, the Father's tender love for you there, like his love for you so deeply. Yeah.
And it's funny, we were watching, our family decided, I haven't really gotten on the Chosen bandwagon. I've watched some episodes, but like after the first season, we just, and people have their opinions about Chosen and all of that, like whether, but I mean, I really enjoy it. I don't think it's gospel truth, but I do think like, especially anyone that's done the Ignatian exercises, like put themselves in scripture, like what, like I can see what it is and it's beautiful and such a beautiful representation, but we're watching at night instead of watching other things at night. We're watching that for the last couple of weeks of Lent. Mm-hmm.
So we're on season two, and when Mary Magdalene runs away, you know, like she gets freaked out by the man mm-hmm. possessed, and then she runs away and goes back to her former life. And I love when Peter and Matthew come and find her, and she's like, he fixed me already. He redeemed me, and I broke me again. And she's like, don't you have faith? And she's like, it's not him that I don't have faith in. I don't have faith in me. I trust him. I don't trust me. Mm-hmm. And just like her honesty and her rawness to that, like, isn't that it? Like, he's fixed me, but I broke me again. I was like, isn't that us all? Like, we run away and all of that. I just really appreciate just the humanness mm-hmm. of it all. We doubt yeah. ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not the Father that we doubt. We doubt ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we don't put ourselves in the position to learn how to receive his love. And it's a lifelong journey.
And yet in there, there's still, you know, this not knowing whether to trust that he can go that far down.
Yes.
That he can mm-hmm. take on something that feels that yes. big. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm that big of a mess. You know, like, can God actually do that? I think there's something here, even in what Mother Mary Frances is saying about, can we get to a place where we go, oh, this is something in myself. And there's like almost a delight of like, oh, this is a place where God's grace and love can come into my life and I can be made new and I can be restored and I can be like what he intended me to be, like the delight in knowing what he's capable of and that he always loves us more than enough mm-hmm. to do it. His mm-hmm. desire is always to draw close to us in our weaknesses, which is just, yeah, it's hard to receive that mm-hmm. sometimes.
Amen. Yeah. It's so interesting, even as adults, how we experience like that kind of fear and like the fear of something really bad's going to happen, or I'm going to get in trouble, or, you know, something like affection's going to be taken away, and it can just be paralyzing, just so paralyzing. And yeah, just many times as an adult, I'm like, I'm an adult. Like, how can I get in trouble? You know, mm-hmm. like, you know, when you're like a little kid, you get in trouble, and yes, all of us have rightful superiors and things like that, or a spouse or something like that. But it's like, what is that? You know, like what is that? And I think it does hit up on what Mother Mary Frances talks about, limitations. And she says, then there is this last point, the recognition of limitations. The greatest scholars are those who best know their limitations. The ones who know very little are the ones who say they know it all, which is just so great. So we need a recognition of limitations. Hopefully, this is beautiful. Hopefully, the older we grow, the more we realize our limitations and see, my goodness, I should have grasped that a long time ago, or I should have known that I react in that circumstance, but I didn't. And I know now that I should have accepted that, but I didn't. And she's like, maybe that's not a star-encrusted moment of joy, but recognition of limitations is a very great thing because it's a step forward. Mm-hmm. And like that's exactly what you both are saying. It's like, oh, okay, I didn't get that then, or I didn't get it now, Lord, but you can come teach me that again, or you can come find me here. Or this is like Father Boniface, you know, every personal weakness is a near occasion of communion. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's the refusal of the self-defense mechanisms, either shame or like I already know everything. I don't need to know anymore. And it's like, you know, I got tons of weaknesses and that's why we need each other. Thank God. mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that just the gift of that.
Mm-hmm. And someone who's learning always enters into a new time of practicing the new things that they're learning. And she goes on in, you know, the Monday to talk mm-hmm. about going another way, that we actually do have choices to make. And this doesn't mean the striving, like I'm trying to do everything in my power, you know, to make the difference. Like God's grace is always active, but we can participate. I love Dallas Willard. He says, grace isn't opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning, mm-hmm. you know? So it's good for us to actually put in some effort to go, I'm actually going to be unwilling to do this thing. She talks about this in this section, I think here on page 185 on the Kindle version. She says, we want to make a firm resolve. Yes, in the future, I'm going to avoid this particular avenue of thought where I know I will get into trouble. This particular lane of imagination, this particular little byway of memory, which will not bring me into closer union with Jesus and his sufferings. Mm-hmm. I will avoid this. So as we learn and these places are exposed to us, there is an aspect of us participating with God's grace and actually, you know, being good students and then putting those things into practice that I think is within mm-hmm. our capabilities mm-hmm. to do. What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah. And I was really convicted when she talks about it's on Tuesday when she talks about complaining. And I love where she said, complain is from the Latin verb plonger, which means to wound, to strike. It means in a very particular way to strike the breast. This is the way to complain. In the sense, may we all be great complainers during Lent, striking our breasts again and again as God unfolds to us his graces and illumines us more and more with his light so that we are more and more inclined to trust him. And I was just like so convicted. Mm-hmm. Then she goes on to talk about like, when I complain, do I wound and strike the Lord's heart?
when I complain, do I wound and strike his heart that he isn't Jehovah Jireh, that he's the God provision, that he is not the God that can fight my battles. And then she goes on to say, like St. Francis, though, do we complain to the Lord, like, I'm so sorry that you're not loved enough and that you're not adored enough and that you are moved enough. Like, so I love that part, that you want to ease his heart, that you want to adore his heart and make sure that his heart is okay, that we complain that he's not being loved enough. Sister, I think it would be good. She and I were having the conversation about piety, and our good friend, Father Justin Brady, had the most beautiful definition of piety that I've ever heard. And it just reminds me of this, like really being loved and adored.
Father Justin and I were talking about piety, and he said, well, you know what piety is? He says, piety is tender affection toward the Lord. And I was like, ooh, that's very beautiful, because many times we think of piety as like prissiness or kind of like some sort of a posturing, or just like, oh, I'm very pious, as if it's kind of like a way of like dampening the human soul. But he said, true piety is a loving, attentive devotion to the Lord, because when you're loving and attentive to somebody, you want to do well, you want to be reverent of them, you want to be kind. And
so good.
I so appreciated that. I was like, that's, we think of, you know, devotions that we have, or even like when we walk into a chapel or a church, you know, if I really love the Lord, I want to genuflect. I want to be reverent. I want to bow to the altar. I want to show him reverence and goodness. Or like the two of you, I love you both very much, and I want to be reverent of you, and I want to tell you that I love you and show you devotion. It's just like, oh, it's so easy to kind of look at the Lord in a different way. But that was so beautiful for my heart to ponder, of the tender affection toward the Lord. I'm like, oh, Lord, increase that, please. Because then we don't want to offend him. That's not about fear, right? In the sense of like fear of punishment. It's about, Lord, I don't want to offend you. And I know I'm probably going to at some point, but just, you know, show me your kindness here. And I want to love you. Yeah.
Gosh, that's so beautiful. That's so good. And that just like strikes at that. It's, I think in, I don't know, Old Testament, I want to say Ezekiel, but I'm not sure, where it says they honor me with their lips and their hearts are far from me. Like, it keeps those two things together, right? Like that our exterior expressions would be expressions of love, not I have to do this, or this is what it looks like on the outside and my heart is far away. That's so beautiful.
And so maybe lastly here, as we're going to enter into Holy Week, which is, you know, the holiest week of the year, this quote from Saturday of the fifth week of Lent, titled Expediency, just one paragraph, and it's just really beautiful as we prepare for Holy Week. She says, "We know we cannot renew the church without renewing one another. Every good act, whether hidden or overt, we renew others. There is nothing like the force of example. Nothing draws us toward humility like seeing the beauty of a humble person, the beauty of a humble response, the beauty of a humble word. Nothing more impresses upon us the beauty of recollection than observing it in one another."
Amen.
And maybe that's something this week, as we move into Holy Week next week, we can kind of just really think about that, of like how we're going to make that week particular to that, and just allowing that devotion. And as we learn this week, we're going to, like the scholarship, we're going to learn this week just to bring that into next week as we prepare to receive the Lord, the risen Lord. So anything last, ladies, anything else you want to add here?
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you, sister.
Well, Miss Heather, do you want to share your one things with our audience?
Yes, I have one great one this week, guys. Our friend Sarah Kroger just released a new song called No Filter, and she has a new album coming out soon. And I've been chatting with Sarah a lot as she's been writing this album, and I'm just so proud of her. Like, this is just so honest and vulnerable and real. And I'm like, oh, when we get this real, like, this is when the Lord moves in power, you know. And this is like really allowing ourselves to be purified and just keep showing up. And so this song, No Filter, you can check it out on all the platforms where you find music. That's Sarah Kroger. And it's really just saying, like, here I am. I'm not hiding anymore. Like, come and get me. Here I am. And it's just so beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
How about you, Michelle?
Mine is, there is a beautiful nursery business that produces flower seeds, is Floret Flowers, and they're actually in upstate Washington. I actually wanted Heather one time to make me go visit their beautiful nursery in place.
It looks
by
amazing,
her lake house
amazing.
In Washington, but they didn't really accept visitors. And I mean, I was all for stalking, but Heather would not let me. Anyway, I just received my seeds from them, and I've become a little bit addicted to flower seeds, but especially the dahlias and the zinnias. And they just have such beautiful blends and gorgeous things. So, but they also offer some free gardening classes too. So I'm going to post all of that. But if you've never seen them or seen their books too, they're just so lovely.
I think that's what heaven's going to look like is their farm, flower farm. But anyway.
The Northwest.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, it is God's country. I don't want to brag. You know,
no Heather, humidity you know. Either. So yeah, maybe.
You represent still, girl.
Yeah, but gorgeous. So anyway, what about you, sister?
Well, my one thing, Heather Kim, I have to give a shout out to your Lenten playlist, girl. It's just, you just got to bring that back up. It's just good. It's just beautiful. So I just appreciate listening to just all the goodness that you have there. And yeah, you just put together so much good stuff. So if you haven't listened, I did this in Advent. If you haven't listened or you didn't listen in a while, just put that on and I think it'll speak to your heart. So thanks again for doing that. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, friends, happy fifth week of Lent. We hope it's a week of learning and just encountering the Lord's kindness and providence. And next week is Holy Week. So until then, we will see you. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you liked it, would you please share it with a friend and leave us a review? We encourage you to head over to our website, abidingtogetherpodcast.com, where you can find all the show notes, links to our One Things, group discussion questions for each episode, and beautiful coffee mugs, t-shirts, journals, and prints in our shop. There you can also subscribe to receive our weekly email with links to each new episode and all of the content. We'd love to connect on social media and invite you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you can catch inspiring reflections every day. You're also welcome to join our private Facebook group and dive deeper into discussions with our fellow listeners. If the podcast has blessed you, would you prayerfully consider financially supporting us? The Abiding Together podcast is only available due to the generous support of our listeners. There are significant costs associated with creating this content, such as tech support, design, website, equipment, and hired staff that we need to be able to continue offering great content. Abiding Together is a nonprofit 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. You can make donations of any amount through the Patreon website, or you can send us a check directly if that's easier for you. If you donate $15 or more per month on our Patreon page, you become a tribe member, and you will receive bonus content every month, such as recipes, music playlists, downloadable prints, and more. You can find all the information at patreon.com/abidingtogetherpodcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.